Aloha.
Hello and welcome. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Thank you for joining us. Episode number 411 of the show. Very happy to be in your realm. If you would like to, please reach out via the email address, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. Always fun to interact with the guests. I think it's the best part of the show. Additionally, you can leave us a voicemail, 949-464-TBLS, 8257. Very much encourage you to call us, leave us a message. Also fun to do, fun to interact with the fans that way. We also do extra content every week. So we record, you know, it's between 90 minutes, usually 90 minutes to 2 hours of a show. And we then that night, I post the entire 2 hours of the show to our Red Circle bonus subscriber page. It shows up that night. There's no commercials and you get all 2 hours of content. That costs $5 a month. Click the link in the show notes. Click that. Subscribe. And for $5 a month or $50 a year, you get the whole show without commercial interruption and one day early. Now, if you just get the regular show, that's fine too. Not everybody's got an extra fiver, specifically a bunch of my friends who say, give me the friends and family discount without throwing $5 at it. Well, those guys, they can only hear the regular part of the show with the commercials. And that usually runs about hour 15 to an hour 30. Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff on the back end, including last week when we talked about these degenerates in, I want to say Florida, although it feels like Utah. Let's be honest. This feels like a Utah story to me. These degenerates who are twins, twin ladies, married twin dudes. And then they both had kids, and now they have kids that are first cousins and brothers. And also, they live in the same house. They all live in the same house. If you can believe that. And because they're weirdos, and they gave their kids weird names like Jet or something. And I gave my thoughts on adult twins in general and how much they freak us out, us normal people. And you didn't hear that if you're not a subscriber to the full show. And you're like, yeah, but Ryan, we've heard you. That's one of your standard rants. And that's true. I have mentioned my paralyzing fear of adult twins and how upsetting they are to the rest of us before. But I went deeper this time. And the only way you're going to know what I said is if you subscribe. So please do that. That would excite me greatly. It's nice to have people contribute and be able to hear everything we say here. I am joined now, as always, by Ed Daly. Ed, what's up, buddy?
Hey, two things. One, I was just reading an article this evening that I thought was just hilarious. Estee Lauder executive ousted after posting a racist COVID-19 meme featuring Sesame Street characters. The meme, which showed Big Bird wearing a surgical mask while standing at a sick Snuffleupagus's bedside, used a redacted version of the N-word in the title while stating that Snuffy had contracted the coronavirus at a Chingy concert.
I don't even get that.
I don't get the humor, but big executive at Estee Lauder. And it's like, oh, how'd you lose that, you know, possibly eight figure job?
He made about $10 million a year.
Yeah. Eight figures. Yeah. I just had to get this picture of Sesame Street with some racist undertones out. I had to do it. I had to share it because it was so funny that I thought it was worth like $10 million a year funny.
Yeah. I mean, he wants that one back. It's not, but I don't even know what he was going for. Like, I don't get it at all. And it's kind of, it's not like this. Who's this? So You Think You've Been Shamed? That woman that had, she had a big time job too. And she's like the big example where she said, hey, jumping on a plane to South Africa. Hope I don't get AIDS. Don't worry. I'm white. By the time she landed in South Africa, this is like, I think she went to sleep or didn't get the Wi-Fi. It was probably like 10 years ago. By the time she landed in South Africa, she'd like lost her job and all of these other, you know, she was a pariah on Twitter already. So it's like, just don't say anything. Don't try to be funny.
It's really hard for unfunny people to be funny.
They want to be involved. And
I know, but it's really hard to thread the needle if you just don't have it in you to be funny.
Yeah.
Like when you're passing off memes, usually you're not funny. Like sometimes, but for the most part, memes are of like jokes for the people who aren't very funny.
And usually when you're passing those along, people have seen them already. You know, it's like you're not really introducing anybody to anything new, and you didn't make it up. You know, you're sharing something that somebody else made up. So even if you are introducing the person to it and they think it's funny, you're not getting the credit for that. And if you're an Estee Lauder executive who tests lipsticks and mascaras on beagles
and kills
you,
them.
Yeah, and kills them, you just lost a $10 million a year job. And why is a fucking CEO of Estee Lauder making $10 million in the first place?
I don't know. I mean, it's big business. And speaking of big business, baseball. So I cheer for a team that's going to be terrible again this year. So I really haven't paid attention that much because, like, whatever. If they cancel the season, it's probably better for the Orioles. However, I clicked on, like, I guess there was a statement from the commissioner like this afternoon, and he was just repeating the same, you know, nonsense. But I clicked on a tweet that just kind of recapped where the owners stand. And it's the comments I just happened to see. It's like a ton of people being like, here's one. Imagine a job where the starting pay is $700,000 a year. Players are spoiled. I'm with the owners.
Yeah.
Imagine when a company revenue was, I can't imagine in this day and age with the information we have, we're siding with billionaires. Billionaires don't, you'll never be a billionaire.
No.
And like, it's 700,000, but imagine a career where somebody tells you can hit the bricks at 30, like you're too old.
Yeah. And the owners, you know, people are like, these guys are spoiled. The owners have a system set up right now where they control a player's rights. And you'll see this a lot where a team will be like, I think
Orioles are doing it right now. They've stacked a bunch of first round picks and they should be in the majors. They're dominating the minors.
Yep. Because the Orioles, they want to keep control. In a row
have had the number one minor league team and the worst system and the worst major league team. Like what? Yes.
So unless you're really great, you don't come free. You're not able to sell your services on the open market until you're around 27 or 28 years old. And as we have learned, the peak of a professional athlete is usually around 29 years old. So these guys have rigged a system where they can control an asset almost through its entire peak. And yet, somehow they still award bad contracts all of the time. They can't get out of their own way with how they run their businesses. And then they try to blame the players who are not billionaires, who some are millionaires. Many only get a taste of the league. They try to blame them for not being able to make enough money. By the way, the value of a sports franchise is in the asset. So they buy this thing. They don't care if they make money every year. They want to break even. They're probably making money. We don't know because they don't share that information with us.
Right.
But even if they're not making money, they're making money in the same way your home is making money, by building equity, except a sports franchise builds equity exponentially more than your home does. So basically, the owners are typical shithead fucking billionaires who no one should be on their side.
No one should be. I mean, here's a general rule. Corporation should never be the side you cheer for. Like in any, I mean, sure, like Ben and Jerry's never. Can do some good, but for the sure. most part, just about every corporation, just about everyone yep. would kill your grandmother if it made him an extra dollar. Like yeah. that's what corporations do. They're only trying to make as much money as possible at sure. all times. And they'll run over everybody, and as long as they can stay within the law, or stay enough within the law that they can keep doing their bullshit yes. and pay an occasional fine. That goes for yes. pollution. That goes for everything. And baseball, like, would you rather see a chunk go to the guys who you're watching on the field, or some rich guy with a bow tie?
Yeah,
fuck out of here.
No, that's exactly right. I'm with you. This time to get back to the bargaining table.
And get back to work, guys, because this is bullshit. Ed, did you see I just sent you a link because we're talking about twins.
Yeah, was it Hungary?
And then these twins popped up in my feed this week. These are the Lukács twins.
I don't know them.
These guys, they're Hungarian. I'll put the link in the show notes. And these guys lived their whole life together on a farm.
Why is that one picture? They're dressed like emus or something.
I don't know. Maybe that's something to do with Hungarianism. But Ed, it's two dudes. What are their names? The Paplukács brothers lived off the vegetables they grew and the animals they reared. Their way of life was hardly touched by mud. Modernity.
Janos and Istvan.
Yeah. Janos Istvan. And Istvan. They were just close brothers. And look, Ed, even though they lived to be old men, they almost had like a Chang and Eng type of lifestyle, except Chang and Eng had ladies. Chang and Eng, also farmers, right?
Right.
They were conjoined. You know, they couldn't get away from each other. These two guys, Janos and Istvan, they just were real close.
Too close. Some say too close.
Yeah, just real close. Lived together on the farm. Did farming shit. They slept in the same room.
With like, there's a difference between – there are many siblings that are close. But there's a difference between that and sharing everything. What is that?
Yeah. That's I don't know.
Really,
I
mean, scary.
You wonder, you see these guys and you wonder, what else did they share, Ed?
Mm-hmm.
They just had such a close relationship. And look,
I don't think it's Eskimo brothers. I think they were sharing, they were cutting out the middleman in the Eskimo brothers scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just brothers. So I just thought that kind of played into our discussion last week. One more thing. Two more things. Our Waterford Crystal contest is still going on. If you're a new listener to the show, if you're an existing listener in the show, I say we just run it through the end of the month. This is going to go through the entire month of March so people can get caught up. If you're a few episodes behind and you're listening and the calendar still says it's March, leave a review of the show, 5 stars. Leave a funny, insightful, interesting, sardonic, whatever you want to do. Leave a review, screenshot it, send it to us, and you will be entered into the contest to win a very high-end set of Waterford Crystal champagne flutes engraved to me and another person. And there's yours to have. I'll cover the shipping.
So it's over this month.
Never used.
Yeah, Stu, I say we go through the month,
just,
right?
Stu just went from 6 to midnight after hearing that news.
Yeah, yes, exactly. He's gotten. I would say Stu's probably in the lead, but I'll have to review because new listener or new to us listener, it's Elliot left a fantastic review.
That was a good one.
Yes, we also have Mark, who assailed the voicemail segment of the show, who did a great job. Dear friend of the show, Dolomite D is in, although he's announced that he wants to give his award. If he wins, he wants to give it to Stu, and Stu's announced he wants to give it to Dola, which I think we both agree that takes points away from both of them.
That's right.
You should be in it to win it.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. You don't win the Stanley Cup and then go, oh, we'll give it to the other guys. You have sex. Then you win the Stanley Cup and then you take it home and you have sex with a barmaid in the Stanley Cup. That's the whole point, is trying to win it. And so, yeah.
This is not a Ving Rhames, Jack Lemmon situation. You cannot give it away like the Golden Globe that year.
Yes, yes, exactly. I forgot about that. That was fantastic. I totally forgot about that. Okay, one more thing. Listener Matt in Findlay, Findlay. How do you pronounce that, Ed? Findlay, Ohio. Findlay.
When I've seen it written, I always said Findlay, but it can't be it. It's probably just Findlay.
Yeah, it's got to be Findlay, right? It's not. I can't imagine Ohioans saying Findlay.
But you can never put it past places.
I know,
for mispronouncing their own names, was it Los Feliz?
Yeah, Los Feliz. Yeah.
Unacceptable pronunciation.
Los Feliz? Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not the way it should be said. We got Newark, New Jersey, and Newark, Delaware. Newark. Like, somebody is wrong. What?
Yes.
People will mispronounce their own shit.
No, they will. They absolutely will and do. And it gets confusing. So I don't know if it's Matt and Findlay or Matt and Findlay, but he came across something here and he sent it to me at New versions of salted nut roll. I have here in front of me, Ed.
Oh, you got one.
Yeah, the original salted nut roll thins, which is looks like it's like kind of like a brittle. It's like a flat. Well, I'll just read it. Creamy peanut butter base blended with roasted peanuts, crisp marshmallow bits, and caramel.
Hmm.
Additionally, he sent along Pearson's Nut Goody.
What do we got there?
Maple flavor, also thins. Milk chocolate blended with roast peanuts, maple, and crisp marshmallow bits. And he's sent along a note. I'll read the note. Brian and Ed saw these at the local Menards. Big box home improvement, and had to get your take. So Matt and Findlay, I got to tell you, Ed, he's got nice penmanship, but he kind of rolls with a combination of printing and
cursive,
like, because these kids these days won't understand. We were beaten over the head as children, as that we were going to grow up to become calligraphers.
There was way too much time spent on that.
Yeah. And I sucked at it. And people, mostly girls, would be good at it. And I couldn't do it. And a fucking, a Q looks doesn't look like a Q. It's a weird thing. An M and an N are distinguished by one different hump.
Yeah, Q looks more like a G, almost.
Yes, yes, yeah. It's all weird shit. We had to learn it. And Matt and Findlay also had to learn it, but now he combines it with regular printing, so it almost reads like shorthand. Okay. Oh, and had to get your take. Full disclosure, despite my Midwest upbringing and residency, I had never had a Pearson salted nut roll, so I bought myself a bag of minis. Same time, I bought these.
I kind of think they're going to be better because it's giving you the flavoring and stuff, but it's not too much. I mean, those giant bars.
That's too much.
It's too much. I've not had a full giant bar. Just it's the little fun size is perfect. but this could be even better.
Yeah. Same time I bought these. You are right, exclamation point. They're outstanding. Lots of peanuts and not as damn sweet as a payday. Well, I would agree with that. It's the nougat that really sets off the Pearson salted nut roll. There's like a vanilla flavor to the nougat that just makes it delicious. Curious to hear your review of the thins and those and these maple nut goodies.
I'm curious as well.
Yeah, enjoy. Keep up the good work on TBLS podcasts, Matt and Finlay. P.S. I want to hear Travis read the lyrics to Ram Ranch. Okay, hey, let's put that on. Put that in the notes. Okay, I'm gonna start.
You put that on your vision board. Hey, while you're opening it up,
yep.
When I spent a couple years in Florida when I was a kid, and what they taught cursive in third grade in New Jersey.
Oh my God.
And they taught it in second grade in Florida. So everybody, when I got down there, knew how to do cursive. I had to teach myself. So on top of having bad handwriting, I was especially bad because I never actually learned it. So if you see me write anything, it will be all caps.
Same.
I don't do anything but all caps.
I write all caps as well. And I just make smaller caps.
Yes. Big caps exactly. And smaller caps. There's no lowercase letters for me, and there's no cursive for sure.
I'm very proud of my penmanship, and my girlfriend Cheyenne has told me many times I am not allowed to publicly display my penmanship because it is so good. Other women will become attracted to me simply based on my beautiful penmanship, which I don't think is a thing, but it's a rule in our house. Okay. I'm going to try the salted nut roll thins. Creamy peanut butter base blended with roasted peanuts, crisp marshmallow bits, and caramel. I'm taking a bite now. Oh, it's fantastic.
This is the nut roll thin?
Nut roll thin. Mm-hmm. Very creamy. A little bit caramely. A little bit peanut buttery. It looks like a brittle, but it's soft.
Okay.
Delicious. Delicious. Okay, now I will be placing a small piece of nut goodie into my mouth. Who doesn't love to taste a nice nut goodie? Love a nut goodie. This is the maple thing. Okay, this is just like regular chocolate. Mmm. It's good. Here's the thing about maple. Very strong flavor.
Mmm.
A little overpowering on the maple of the nut goodie. I would say I'm going to eat another little piece, though, because I'm a fucking pig. I would say I prefer the salted nut roll thins to the nut goody maple. Matt and Finlay, thank you very much. Ed Daly, let's talk a little sports.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I'm my own joy on DVD.
Ed, what is going on in the world of sports this week?
Three sports RIPs.
Mm.
I was sad about this one. Somebody I hadn't thought of in decades.
Rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace. The ballers hope you rest in peace.
Yep. Very sad.
You won't laugh no more.
No more laughter.
Nope.
You won't smile no more.
Smiling and laughing, I would say.
You won't laugh no more.
Soon. Back to the laughter.
Laughing.
You won't fuck no more.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Oof. Wow. Really escalates quickly.
Yeah.
You rest in peace.
Yeah.
Ex-Auburn and Chargers running back Lionel Little Train James. Yeah. He was 59. He had like a year or two when we were kids. right? Like he was, he was the smallest NFL player. He was like 5'6" or something.
5'6".
And he like had a great year or two.
Yeah. Yeah. And what a great nickname too, by the way.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Little Train. Too young to die. 59.
Yeah.
Do we know if there was,
I read lengthy illness, which seems like cancer, but who knows?
Right. Or, I mean, he was a running back. Let's hope he wasn't stricken with the Gehrigs.
Yeah, he was exciting. You are a Chargers fan, so maybe you'd remember him a little more, but I just remember like he was always getting highlights and stuff. He was a good player.
I do remember him, but I was not a Chargers fan in 1989, I have to admit.
Oh.
I was stricken with a Rams fandom in my childhood that I've since broken free of.
RIP Ken Burrow, 2-time Pro Bowl receiver for the Oilers, 73. I don't remember him, but rest in peace. I do remember this guy because I had his basketball card. RIP former Indiana Pacers coach Dick Versace, even though I would have thought he'd say Versace, but he went by Dick Versace. He was 81. Yeah. You got to check out this hair.
Hold on a second. Now, first of all, RIP to Dick Versace and the Versace family. But you're telling me that Dick Versace, who'd recently passed away, was only 81 years old in 2022?
How about that, like, 1989 hair he had?
Yeah. He was like 40 years old.
it was like a Phil Spector wig of white. I mean, it was crazy looking.
Oh, man, I haven't thought about old Dick Versace in a while. What teams did he coach?
I remember Pacers, but I think he was Bradley's coach of like back when like Hersey Hawkins went there, and they actually were sort of a known program for a few years.
I need to.
That is some hair.
Is this his actual hair?
It was just one of a kind. The coif of the century.
Yeah. Wow. I'm wondering, I can't tell if it's a wig. I mean, here's the thing.
Why would you buy that wig?
Who would pick that? Yeah. Who would pick that hair as a wig? You'd get whatever Bill Self has, you know, you get the good one.
Right.
This was something else. Wow. Yeah. RIP Dick Versace.
Yeah.
You will be missed, buddy.
Our old friend Jackson Mahomes. He has been called out for scamming small businesses during the same week he was excluded from his brother's bachelor party in Vegas, which left him, quote, sad and disrespected.
What? He's Patrick didn't bring his brother? Well,
they showed all like him with his teammates in Vegas, and Jackson wasn't there doing his little TikTok dances.
What? Look, if you're famous and we know who your brother is, that's exclusively a bad thing.
Yes.
Like Billy Carter, Roger Clinton, there's others. If you're gravy training your brother's fame and we know who you are, no, it's okay. Look,
if you're Billy Ripken, you at least made it to the league, or Jeremy Giambi. Yes. You know, you might be the less successful brother, but at least you made it to the league.
Yeah. This Jackson Mahomes, he's dancing at the games. Yeah. I read something this week because there was a picture of Patrick Mahomes and the girlfriend, Brittany something.
Yeah.
And they were sitting courtside at an NBA game. And to look like they were not getting along. And I read some writer said that he had heard that Patrick had put it out to both the brother and the girlfriend, you're not coming to any games next year.
Well, they've been such an embarrassment.
Yeah, they're a big distraction. And this Jackson Mahomes is
and he's great. Scamming small businesses too.
Yeah, he's doing the thing where he's like getting sponsorship
based on his TikTok dances, and then he's not fulfilling his end of the deal with the sponsorships, unlike the sponsorship you'll probably be hearing on this episode, if not the next one, for the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We fulfill our obligations to our sponsors because we love them. This guy, Jackson Mahomes, and did you see the kind of business this was, Ed?
Restaurant?
They probably have salted nut rolls. It's like a company that sends you like regional snacks.
Okay. I like it in theory. If you move away from an area and you can get something.
Yep. I was reading about it. It's like there's certain, like in the UK, they have Pringles, but they're like different. And this company he was sponsoring will send you the Pringles crisps that they have in the UK for a price. Exotic snack and drink company, Munchies. Hey, Munchies, hit us up.
Yeah.
So we won't scam you. Yeah. He's just got this Jackson Mahomes. He's got that real shit eating grin on his face. I hate people.
Yeah, he sucks.
I hate people that they're connected to someone else's success and they think they've achieved something.
Yeah. I mean, this is like half the cabinet in the previous administration.
Yeah, exactly.
Or for the whataboutisms, Hunter Biden. That dude has a famous dad. It's just, those are the worst kind of people.
Yeah. It's okay. Like, look, given the opportunity, I would exploit that, but I wouldn't act like I had achieved anything. I would do it quietly.
You didn't hit the triple. You're on third. Oh, yes. You didn't hit it.
Yeah.
It's a pretty simple thing.
Yeah, I hate this guy's stupid face. He's Jackson Mahomes.
Very
punchable. Very punchable. Yes. Mm-hmm. Very punchable face. Fuck him. Live up to your obligations, Jackson. Always claiming he never got the package. Liar. People sign for that. Amazon takes a picture of it on your doorstep, buddy. Unless you got porch pirated, you got it. And you ate those Pringles. Oh, he was roasted a few months ago for trying to use his name to get special treatment at a Kansas City bar. Yeah. You know who we got to blame for this is former Atlanta Braves reliever Pat Mahomes.
Right. Former everything reliever. Yankees. Yes. He played for like 11, 12 franchises.
Yes. He needs to get this kid in line. Like this isn't Patrick Mahomes' problem. This is the dad's problem. You need to sort this kid out.
Apparently the parents' divorce wasn't so good because that is why the mom insists anytime somebody refers to him as Pat, no, he's Patrick. He's nothing like his father. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah. There's something like that I read somewhere.
Ball player, Ed.
His dad's cannon of an arm certainly has paid off pretty well.
Absolutely.
The big story of the week, obviously, was Russia invading Ukraine, and Ukrainian boxers Vitaly and Vladimir Klitschko are now fighting the Russian troops in Kiev.
I made the mistake. Excuse me, I'm eating something. I thought I could get through it while you're talking. I'm eating a little nut thin over here. Sorry. Hold on.
All right. So while you're chewing, I got to say, like, I am astonished by the show of bravery and stuff. Like, I keep thinking, and it's just because, like, how I was raised, like, I'm just so much softer than, like, these hard-ass guys over there. Yeah. How about the people protesting in Moscow? You see what he does? He just poisons and throws people into work camps. Like, I wouldn't, I can't imagine protesting. No. There's bravery all over the place in Eastern Europe right now.
Yeah.
And like, I just, oh my God, I don't have it in me.
They're like fighting in Chernobyl and shit. I did get a little confused because I saw Vitaly is the mayor of Kiev, or as we call it now, Kyiv.
Yeah. What happened?
I don't know.
Somehow it was always K-Y-E-V, and then we've added an I.
Bullshit.
And it was the Americanized pronunciation anyway. We don't call Italy Italia. Like, we have our American pronunciations.
Yes. Beijing, just like Peking.
Estados Unidos is the Spanish pronunciation of the United States. Like, it's okay to have your own pronunciation.
That's right. That's absolutely right. I saw the Vitaly was the mayor of Kiev. Chicken Kiev. You got to call it Chicken Kiev now? That's a dish.
Right.
And I was reminded of his relationship with Hayden Panettiere, who's very tiny.
Like 5'1 max.
Yes. And these guys are giants. And I was like, whoa, how's this possible? But then I Googled it because I wanted to get a picture. And it's actually, she was actually in a relationship with Vladimir, who's, I think, the better larger. Looking. Yeah, he's the larger of the two Klitschkos. And he was the one that was heavyweight champion for like 10 years until the Gypsy King came in there and sorted him out in Germany on a midday heavyweight title fight.
That was so weird. It was like so this weird afternoon. Whoa, did you hear the heavyweight championship is over?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Wednesday.
Yes. But yeah, props to the Klitschko brothers for defending their homeland. Look, if Costa Mesa, California was under attack,
I'd be a resident of somewhere else.
Yeah, I'd be in Mexico. Fuck that. No thanks.
And while we're on the war, I read that Putin got his black belt, Taekwondo black belt taken away. Yeah. Which is just amazing because you've seen those demonstrations where he touches somebody and they do like a triple flip. Whoa, you got me there.
Yeah. There's a, I don't follow it anymore, but I used to. There's a Instagram account called McDojo Life, and it's all like those fake. There's so many people that do fake martial arts, like what Steven Seagal does. It's like
the slow motion.
They just go in and like touch everybody on the forehead, and then they're all like writhing in pain, like they got the Vulcan death grip. But
it is
one of those things. Like, look, this Putin's a piece of shit, but if he earned a black belt in Taekwondo, I mean, that's, you can't take that away. It's like, what's his name?
Trump got an honorary black belt.
He did?
So, I mean, Putin at least seems athletic. Yeah. He might be getting away with bullshit goals in hockey and bullshit fighting.
He got 9 goals in that hockey game.
But he at least, you know, unlike Kim Jong-un, you know, when you hear his athletic feats.
18 holes in one.
Putin at least seems like a pretty in shape guy for his age.
Yeah.
Trump didn't. There's no way Trump ever kicked to his waist.
Also, didn't Trump try to claim that he went to Penn to play baseball and he was on the baseball team and then he threw out the first pitch and he can't throw a baseball? Like, how's that possible? Like, you don't forget how to throw a baseball just because you're 70 years old and fat. Still can toss it up there.
Yeah, it's just weird. All these the war. It, like I said, I'm just, it's sad. And I saw an analyst last night, which really bummed me out.
Yeah.
Because a guy, because she was asked, well, what is ideally, like, she's an expert on Russia or foreign policy in Eastern Europe, whatever it was. What's your best case scenario? And she's like, honestly, they take over, install a puppet regime, and just stop attacking. And that's probably the best case scenario, which is fucking awful. Like, that would be best. But the worst is like they go to Poland and now we have to fight.
Yeah, exactly. And but also, like, didn't we, they had a puppet regime and then we came in and installed our puppet regime. So it's like kind of like a proxy situation going on right now.
And the bad takes are everywhere too. Like, it's, you know, obviously there's mixed messaging. Biden's not strong enough, but yet Putin is, you know, deserves it. It's back and forth. But I saw two great clips. One was Condi Rice in the studio with someone, and they're like, invading a nation without cause. This is a war crime, right? And Condi Rice is like, yeah, I agree. It's like, Condi Rice.
And then did she do that thing where she put out her hands to make them available for handcuffs because she's a war criminal? They didn't do that.
And another person who just needs to go away, Hillary, was like, hey, in 1980, Russia invaded Afghanistan, and they were a well-trained, well-supplied militia, and it didn't work out so well for Russia. Well, guess who else it didn't work out so well for?
Yeah.
United States. Yeah. Well, let's not brag about that Afghani militia. They turned it to the Taliban.
And remember, she was Secretary of State when we instituted regime change in Libya, and she cackled on right. television after Gaddafi was sodomized to death in public. She's like, ha ha, we came, he lied, he died or something. And it's like, look, bitch, like, act professional, like, act like it's an accident. Like, they want to do things when they're in charge and they want it to seem like it's everything's on the up and up. And then they want to talk shit when somebody else does it. They're all war criminals. They're all pieces of shit. And I don't know why Hillary continues to be foisted upon us. Nobody's asking for more Hillary.
Nobody. Certainly not the Democrats. They didn't want her enough to show up to vote for her. So like, who is she? She's just like for this like centrist wing that needs to see Hillary. Nobody needs her.
No, get rid of her.
But yeah, obviously, Putin's the bad guy. But all the people who think they have the solution, like nobody would be happy if we were actually fighting. Nobody would be happy with any solution. And it's kind of just an awful situation put out by an awful guy.
Yeah.
And I know people with family in Ukraine. I have a couple friends, and it's like, it's just helpless. There's nothing you could do when you've got a monster. And like, when you factor in political, like if a president tries to do something, they have to, you know, for a variety of reasons, but they will always say, well, we got to figure in like what politics mean to this. Politics don't mean shit to Putin. He's killed everybody. He's gotten rid of the press, and he doesn't care that his people are going to badly suffer economically. He doesn't care.
He doesn't give a shit. And he's not going to suffer. Like, we're like, sanctions. Now, people are going to starve to death because of our sanctions. And you know who's not going to starve to death? Putin.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, I don't know that anyone has the right solution.
I know.
It's fucking awful. It's awful.
So. Yeah, the world is a garbage place.
Also awful is Goose Gossage. This guy wants,
I
mean, we've talked, we opened the show talking about how bad Manfred and the owners are, but he's like the groundhog every few years. He just pokes his head out. He gave an interview where he wants to punch Rob Manfred and stuff Yankees GM Brian Cashman in a trash can. He's one of those play it the right way kind of guys.
Yeah. He's not a player. Like, what's he care? He wants to do it for the players.
Remember, he was so furious that he couldn't get into the Hall of Fame. He refused to let them consider him anymore.
Yeah, and then they let him in.
Then they let him in, and suddenly he's the ambassador to baseball.
Yeah, and he had that mustache. Like, he's real proud of that mustache. You know, he's probably wants to sign things somewhere. I don't know. We've had enough of him.
And I saw him, like, maybe it was when Mariano Rivera retired. But he was very angry because he's like, how many two winning saves did he ever do?
Yeah.
You know, like, buddy, just you were of a different era and you can shut your mouth.
Imagine like the NBA guys, because they even like I was talking to somebody the other day and we're talking about like what players made. We're talking about what baseball players made. And I looked, and in 1988, the highest paid player in Major League Baseball was Ozzie Smith, and he was making like $2.3 million. And now these guys look at these guys making $40 million, and they're like, if I had just been born later. But you weren't. You can't, you know, it's just, you lived in the time that you lived in, and that's all there is to it. You can't look back and think that the revenues were still the same. I don't know what point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, just old players are cranky.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I do remember when George Steinbrenner was trying to fuck with Dave Winfield because he didn't like him and he wanted to void the contract. It was a 10-year, $10 million contract at the time.
And that was considered a Hall of Famer. Outrageous. Yes,
he was a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, fuck the owners.
Back to NBA. De'Aaron Fox shut down his Swipe of the Fox crypto venture with more than $1.5 million unpaid to its nearly 100,000 investors.
Oh, so hold on a second. So is this like an NFT situation?
It's crypto. So essentially, like, you say, hey, I'm going to each coin of Swipe at a Fox. I think it was like the Bored Ape, except they were foxes in different outfits.
Yeah. Oh, and so you could make your own.
It was something like that, but then it was like, you know what? We're just going to shut it down. And there were 100,000 people like, no, I gave money.
Right. Where's
we don't just close it down, but there aren't rules yet. They haven't really regulated anything.
Yeah. Why? Like, I could see maybe there being a Ja Morant coin, Ja coin, or like Luka.
Doncic.
What's the guy? Dragic.
Doncic.
Yes. Like, that guy's good. Like, I could see him having his own coin, and he's in an international.
De'Aaron Fox is good, but he's on the Kings. Yeah,
exactly. Like, who's buying a De'Aaron Fox coin? Maybe once he gets traded to a big market.
Yeah, it's hard to feel bad for the investors. It's not right to just shut it down and rip people off. But, you know, the old Ben Franklin quote, a fool and his money are soon parted. Like, if you're buying Swipe at a Fox...
Yes.
Maybe you're not supposed to have that money.
I feel like Swipe of the Fox, too. I feel like this was like some like greasy like hedge fund dude.
It's not like De'Aaron Fox is shooting free throws and thinking this up. Like, somebody approached him.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. But he's the face, you know. People are going to be mad at De'Aaron Fox and Swipe of the Fox for this for quite a while.
So, as Russia was attacking Ukraine, like on, I guess it was Friday, Grambling tried to sneak a little news item out that they were hiring Art Briles as their offensive coordinator, the disgraced former Baylor head coach that was giving the green light to rapists and all kinds of shit.
What's in it? Like, who's that good of a coach?
Right. You knew it was going to be bad. That's why they dumped that news right as like the attack was happening.
Right. And it's like, no one's creating anything that's so new. Like, everything's a copy of everything else. You know, you see all the film, you watch everybody's plays. I guess you can innovate off that. But there's another guy that Grambling could have got that was just as good as Art Briles that didn't look past any sexual assaults. Like, I don't understand. Is it because he probably has a buddy that's the head coach and that's the kind of thing? Like,
is former Bengals Hugh Jackson. Jackson was, he was Bengals, right?
No,
Browns.
Browns, yeah.
And he got the job. And it's like, this is a proud HBCU. Yeah. Like, they are one of the known, you know, people can name one or two of those schools. This is one of them. And they're going to bring in Art Briles. They're going to, like, just use up all their capital. Like, this is not a good look for the new head coach. And he resigned this morning because he's like, I fear I'm a distraction. It's like, fuck off.
You don't get to work. Hugh Jackson should resign as well.
And he showed no contrition. He just showed disappointment that he lost his job at Baylor, but he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, he is, definitely.
Isaiah Thomas was, you know, really, he's putting himself out there. He bravely proclaimed that Giannis could play in his era, the two-time MVP.
See, this is the same thing. This is what drives me crazy when, like, the 96 Bulls are like, Golden State could never beat us. Like, none of these modern teams could beat us. We're so tough. And I'm like, every team could beat you. The fucking Bobcats, the Hornets could beat you.
Steph Curry, yeah, I understand you could be more physical back then.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Steph Curry could average 50.
Yeah. Oh, easily. Yeah.
Right?
I often wonder, why don't they just have the whole rest of the team make a wall
in front of Seth, like Steph Curry, and
like
just
a
let
four
him
man pick.
Yeah, just come down. Everybody line up in front of him in the backcourt and just get in. Just be like 3 feet in front of him all the way down the court. And when he gets past half court, just let him shoot wide open. He'll fucking score 120 points a game.
I don't, no problem. Have you ever seen him warming up? He yes. hits them all.
All of
like
them.
If he's like wide throws. Open, he hits them.
Yeah. And like from half court, like he makes half court shots like they're free throws. The dude is a revolutionary. He's completely changed the game. It's never going back. It's all about three pointers. It's not an inside out game anymore. It's everybody needs to be able to shoot. It's completely different. And this guy, Giannis, yeah, he could play in Isaiah Thomas era. He would dominate. He would be the fucking best player. There were no athletes.
Well, think
at
about
seven
the bad
tall
boy Pistons.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, Isaiah Thomas yeah. was an insane player, but the rest yeah. of the team, even yeah. Dumars wasn't like a ridiculous yeah. shooter. Yeah, so no, they were all kind of worse versions of Giannis, like yeah. the rest of the team.
The microwave.
Except for Rodman was, you know, a legit the greatest rebounder of our lives.
But he only had to do one thing.
Right.
Well, two things. He played defense and he got rebounds. He never had to worry about doing anything on offense on any team he was
Giannis,
ever on.
Giannis could do everything and
do it all.
I don't know. Isaiah yeah. Thomas. He's like Hillary Clinton. He just needs yeah. to go away. He yeah. fucked up badly in New York, yeah. got a sexual harassment charge. Yeah. Like, he needs yeah. to go away.
Had a suicide attempt, drafted Ronaldo Balkman.
Yeah.
In the first round?
It was like eighth.
Eighth as a Knick overall fan, lottery pick.
As a Knick fan, I really am not yeah. a fan.
No, me either.
Red Sox release prospect Brett Netzer. After he was claimed to have racist, homophobic, and anti-Semitic social media posts, and before anyone thinks maybe it was taken out of context, his tweet was, "I'm a racist. I do sometimes make assumptions based on persons, race, ethnicity, culture. Glad that is out of the way." He called the Red Sox executive Chaim Bloom a hypocrite and an embarrassment to any Torah-following Jew.
I mean, a couple things here. First of all, this dude couldn't throw 100 miles an hour. Because remember, a few years ago,
the Brewers pitcher?
Milwaukee, yes, reliever, Josh Hader.
Yeah, yeah.
He had some racist tweets. Yeah, exposed.
Like he was on the mound, right? At the yeah, All-Star game?
Yeah, but except he's like one of the three or four best relief pitchers in the league. So they were able to get past that pretty quickly. I mean, this guy's pretty bad. It also reminds me of when they're like, "Hey, did you send any racist tweets?" And he's like, "Oh, I don't know." And then the tweet is, "I'm a racist." It reminds me of that story we did that one time about when they raided the lead singer of the heavy metal band Cannibal Corpse's home.
Yes.
And they found human skulls in his house, and they found all these guns. And then they pointed out that he did have a song that said, "I have human skulls in my home and guns for murder." And it's like, he was telling you.
It's like that scene in The Burbs when the trunk opens and there's a bunch of skulls in Dr. Klopek's trunk.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And now the worst story of the week.
Yeah.
Gary Payton was a Laker for like a year, maybe? Maybe 2 years?
Yeah, 1 year.
One year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was when they were trying to form a super team, but they were all yeah. old. Kind of what they're doing yeah. this year. And he talked about how Shaq, the jokester, had a unique way of hazing the rookies. He would save it up in a bucket for a week
yeah.
and then pour his bucket of bodily waste on the rookies yeah. in the stall next to him in the bathroom.
Now, I got to assume that it's urine, right? It's not.
He was vague about what it was. But even if it's urine.
Yeah. This is no.
He's the worst teammate who ever lived.
This is a health emergency right here. This is
illegal. This is not a legal thing to do.
you can't, because they talk about like Shaq was just such a jokester. He would run out on the court naked and practice and try to like grab guys.
Yeah,
which is pretty terrifying. He's a pretty big guy. But weaponizing your bodily fluids, and let's just assume it was only fluids, because we can't.
Yeah, we can't. I mean, what Shaq was dropping in a bucket.
Ugh. Let's see. Hold on. It's on YouTube. Let's see what Gary Payton says. It's not that long.
Well, then in 2005, you signed a 1-year deal with the Miami Heat. And now you get to reunite with Shaq once again. And I guess in the beginning, things were a little bit rough. And you had to pull Shaq aside and say, listen, Dwayne Wade is really who we got to focus on. Mm-hmm. Oh, and that's when everything started to change.
Yeah,
it did. We, you know what?
He's giving himself credit. Hold on, let's jump ahead.
He was doing a lot of things. And I just called a team meet.
Oh, called a team meeting. The glove.
Shaq wasn't really going for that. The run, it would be Dallas.
Right, 2006. Miami Heat's first ever NBA final.
The big old shorts, man. Oh. With Shaq, we used to always play jokes. Uh-oh. Shaq is a jokester. Mm-hmm. So one of the rookies,
this is not a joke,
stall, he would take a bucket and use the bathroom in it for about a week.
Ugh. Use the bathroom in it, he says.
He's vague. He doesn't say he pissed in it for a week.
I mean, no. I feel like...
It sounds like it was not just number one.
No, he's euphemizing here.
And then all of a sudden, he'll pour it on them. So we start being jokesters. We start being jokes. So I said, I got to get him. So I got his shorts, his drawers one day, and I took them, and he had to wear them underneath his thing and be free balling on the side, right?
Whoa, before free ball. Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah.
So he didn't have no drawers because he was trying to find his drawers, and I had them. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so they stole his pants. So that's okay. You can steal a guy's pants. You can't pour your bodily fluids. That's biohazard. That's the word I was looking for before. That's a biohazard situation. Like, they need to call HR. They got to have a hazmat team come in and clean up all the bio waste. There's airborne. Who knows? You could be inhaling it. This is a criminal act.
And I mean, where did he store it for a week?
Right. The smells, Ed.
Awful.
Where did he store it? He did it in a bucket. So the same bucket, he just... filling up the bucket the whole time? Like, where's he keeping that? In his garage? The backyard?
This is awful. And
how's he transporting it?
I mean, the NBA should say, sorry, we just bumped you from the top 75 list. You can't.
I agree.
Like, you can't be there.
This kind of shit, this is line one of the resume.
Right.
You know, you shouldn't be able to avoid this. Like, I'm not saying you shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, but it should be, you know, that. There should be some type of asterisk or something. This man weaponized his bodily fluids on teammates.
This is a terrible human being.
Not okay. Okay, let's talk some. Oh, let's do some voicemails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring. And worthless, but he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His spots are useless, shit. He's fat and got big tits. He's Manuel in Gardenia. Whoa, he's Manuel in Gardenia.
Whoa. Set a voicemail.
Hey guys, it's Drew in Houston. As the official golf correspondent for the Baller Lifestyle, I've got... a little discussion about Phil Mickelson with you guys. I had some inside information.
So Phil Mickelson lost all his sponsors this week. Did you hear about that, Ed?
So I only know briefly that he was like, I'm joining a Saudi league or something.
Yeah, but it's like a bunch of players are. So I don't know why that would, come back on him. Like, you don't lose your sponsors. Just like, personally, I think, you know, I'm no fan of the Saudis.
No,
and they're starting their own golf league, and they're bad people.
Horrible people. MBS.
Yes. MBS murders journalists. They cut the hands off of petty criminals in the street. Their treatment of women is horrendous.
Right. And they have a lot of money. Like, they just bought a Premier League team, and they're like, oh, this will be one of the best teams pretty soon, because like, they have all that money. They have all that oil.
They have all the money. And that shouldn't be enough of a reason to normalize them. Let's hear what Drew has to say about Phil Mickelson. Give us the inside info, Drew.
Through some friends involved with the tour and some guys I know. But anyway, there's a book coming out by Alan Shifnuck that's going to be an unauthorized biography about Phil. And so we were talking about this, and evidently there's a lot of really heavy stuff that's coming out that they've verified allegedly and some stuff. But anyway,
you remember a couple years ago when he insider traded?
I mean, he's like a gambling addict, right?
He's a compulsive gambler. He gambles on everything, golf, etc. I mean, he's a successful guy.
Didn't he become the oldest guy to win a major or something?
Yes. He won the PGA last year, 50 years old. But he's one of those guys that the fans all really like him, but he's a table for one type of dude. Not a lot of buddies on tour.
Most shocking thing is that they are alleging that Phil has a love child.
Oh, I've heard this before. He supposedly has a love child in Ohio.
Rumor has been going on since like 2006, 2007. All the guys on tour seem to, you know, have accepted it or whatever. But the deal is, I think he's been supporting this kid allegedly.
Well, he wouldn't be the first. Without his wife knowing. How's that?
Anyhow, last year at the Amex, he's the tournament host, and as the tournament host, he disappears for 3 days.
So anybody within the sound of my voice, I don't know what he's about to say. This is alleged by our caller, Drew, in Houston. So,
I mean,
don't sue me.
Is he getting at, this is why Phil is losing sponsors? Because, like, I mean, a professional athlete stepping out and fathering a child? No,
that's not enough reason. That's not enough reason.
And everybody was wondering what was happening. Well, allegedly, his wife went Elin Nordegren on his ass with a 9-iron after finding out about this love child.
Amy Mickelson.
This is all alleged. These are rumors, whatever.
Yeah.
But
we traffic in rumors here.
Pretty damning. So all of this comes back around to this Saudi golf league. So Phil's.
He's thinking he can hightail it overseas. You know, this is like when dad gets divorced and he's an airline pilot and he goes and starts a new family in Michigan or something.
How about pre-internet and cell phones, when like fathers would have second lives like 20 minutes away?
Yeah. Yes. Somebody was just telling me a story about that recently.
I've definitely heard this in like celebrity interviews. They're like, oh yeah, my dad disappeared, and then we found out he was just living the next county yeah. over.
Remember Charles Kuralt?
Oh,
he would do those like on the road.
This is the way it is. Or so he had some like catchphrase.
Yeah. And he hosted CBS Sunday morning, every Sunday morning. Well, it turns out when he died, he's an older guy. He was like in his 80s. When he died, turns out he had two full families going.
Wow.
Separate. Let's look that up.
How about the time Kuralt. I saw, what's his name? Steve from 60 Minutes.
Steve. Yeah, the guy. Oh, what's his name?
Oh,
he needs it.
I think, there was another story that we did, but the one evidence of seeing him, he needed to be on that stool because when he tried to step off the stool at a, it was a bar by Columbus Circle. He was not able to stand.
Little sloppy. Well, Charles Kuralt kicked out in 1997, kicked off in 1997. Posthumous controversy. 2 years after his death, Kuralt's decades-long companionship with a Montana woman named Patricia Shannon was made public. Kuralt apparently had a second shadow family.
Shadow family?
With Shannon, while his wife lived in Manhattan and his daughters from a previous marriage lived on the Eastern Seaboard.
This makes it seem like a comic book. Shadow family?
Shadow family.
Second family.
Second family. Shannon asserted that the house in Montana had been willed to her, a position upheld by the Montana Supreme Court. According to court testimony, Kuralt had met Shannon while doing a story on some park in Reno, Nevada, which Shannon had promoted and volunteered to build in 1968. He lived into the 90s. The park was a low-income area, blah, blah, blah. Kuralt mentions, it was known that they knew each other. It's baller.
It's baller, yeah. And it's also kind of sad. Like, wouldn't you think at some point your body would just tell you to slow down a little bit? Like, if when I'm in my 70s, I don't want to be balancing out two different families and shit.
You got the side piece going in Montana, and you're like, and part of your gig is you're doing on the road segments. And let's be honest, this is why airline pilots have second families, is because they've picked a lifestyle that will allow them the dalliances they want.
Right.
Same with professional athletes. It's easy for them. So this Charles Kuralt's like pitching to his CBS people. He's like, how about I do these on the road segments? Keep me out in a bus, you know? So
that's your 12th story on Montana this year. What do you got?
Everything happens in Montana.
It's just really interesting though.
I love Montana. Big Sky. So he goes there and look, he's got the side piece of Montana and he sets her up in the house and everything. And then accidentally it feels a little too good one time and he can't resist. And he accidentally doesn't pull out. And assuming this wasn't a Boris Becker situation, he owns up to it and he's like, all right, well, I guess I'll have a little shadow family here in Montana. But how do you have multiple children? Do you just get to the point where you're like, well, I already had one. Who cares? I'll just start busting nuts here because it feels good. Or do you just make the same mistake again where you're like, oh, fuck, are you kidding?
Again? No, I think he thought, hey, listen, I need the kids to have a companion so they'll stop talking. You know, they won't be as needy for me if they have a sibling to play with.
Yes, exactly. Like, what's... Yeah, yeah. I'll keep her busy. Well, yeah, because she's probably like, you know, it's just me here and the baby and, you know, we got the dogs and you're out here as often as you can be. I understand your job and your original family keep you busy. But I just, you know, maybe if I had another baby here, it would be better. And then he thinks he's placating her.
Right. That doesn't work.
By spackling those guts again. And then... then there's a second baby there, and then it works against him.
That's why you get snipped.
Yeah, of course.
And then you just say, "Sorry, I'm trying."
Yeah,
I'm just shooting blanks. I don't know. I can't. That's like the time my uncle one time he wanted to shave his head, and he worked at a nice restaurant, and the boss is like, "You got to grow that out. It's just you can't." You can't shave your head. And he just kept shaving it. And he's like, I'm sorry, it's just not growing.
Yeah, yeah, lying. Yeah, exactly. To make it as a real man, you make it seem like it's her fault. Be like, you see my original family over here, a bunch of healthy kids. I'm rocking and firing on you. Yeah, must be you because I've impregnated people before. Like, what's your issue?
Yeah, smart. There's plenty of Kuralts running around over here. Yeah,
so many. Okay, let's hear what Drew has to say.
Well, taking the blood money from the Saudis to start this golf league or to recruit players for this golf league. And this is going to be like life-changing money for these 20 guys. They're going to make $30 to $50 million a year. Bryson's going to make a quarter of a bill. And and it's going to be this huge deal. Well, I think now this is all alleged. This is opinion, speculation, but I think that
you hear that, libel lawyers, libel attorneys,
somebody inside the PGA Tour, in order to squash this Saudi deal,
smear,
leaked to either the writer or Phil's wife or somebody about this love child, and they were
payback,
basically trying to make Phil look like a shithead publicly, which would then implode the league. And I think it worked out exactly how they wanted it to.
Interesting.
So, I knew that the Tour was going to play dirty on this, and everybody kind of did, but I think that maybe with like all these like indiscretions and all this stuff, they kind of may either, maybe they leaked it to somebody who then got it to the guy who was doing the autobiography.
Yeah.
Doing the body.
That's what happens. You can't have skeletons. Hold on. He's talked so long, but this is kind of interesting. He's gone into a second message.
Wow.
Hey, it's Drew again. Sorry. This is running long.
Yeah, we noticed.
I'm going straight up Manuel.
Yep.
You know, multiple voices.
Well, that's not true.
On. Anyway,
you're more interesting.
So, I think that we're going to find out some pretty nasty stuff. Anyway, what ended up bringing down the golf league was Phil taking a liberty to discuss some of this stuff with the guy that was writing the biography, and maybe he thought it was off record.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I think there's some journalistic rules or something.
Yeah, you got to say it's off record.
When you know the guy's writing a biography for you, nothing is off.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you explicitly say it is, and that's when he said,
"Oh, Thon Brennaman knows about hot mics."
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's just like Phil, who's got a huge ego, to just start flapping his fucking lips like an idiot, and then say it was supposed to be off record.
But I gotta say, all the stuff that Drew is talking about, it seems like we're still missing the big thing that sinks him. Like, okay, so his marriage may have gotten fucked up by this, but like what. Other athletes can be like, I refuse to be a part of a league of a guy that steps out. Like, I mean, what, half of those guys, three quarters of those guys are stepping out? Like, what?
This guy got charged with insider trading and paid a $2 million fine.
Right. There's got to be more.
That's worse. That's worse than cheating on your wife.
And all that. And of course, the author, Shifnuck, he ran with it, went straight to Twitter, and it pretty much, you know, was the tipping point for the whole deal.
Yeah.
Anyway, all the tour pros that are involved with this, or were going to be involved with the Saudis, they don't give a shit if it's blood money or whatever. I mean, these guys are,
it's a lot of money.
Pretty much. I mean, they're not real smart, and
they're athletes,
are looking at, you know, $30, $50 million guaranteed. I mean, it's life changing money. These guys make a lot of money, but they don't have that type of cash, and it was going to be completely like generational wealth type shit. And they were like, fuck it, we're going to do it. So, so I know I carried on for a long time, but it gives you something to talk about.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm into it.
Stuff that's coming out is going to be pretty explosive.
Can't wait.
I think the book's going to get into some pretty nasty stuff about his gambling and maybe the IRS and the SEC and some of this other shit. Pretty much everybody's always known that Phil is a phony, and I think we're going to see it anyway. All right. Talk to you guys.
That's pretty good. I do remember.
And, and I would say I like calls like Drew's where they're giving they're giving us, you know, content and everything. Just make sure you're very generous with your allegedlys.
Yes.
Just keep it real generous.
That's yes. Allegedly. I heard, don't know if this is true or not. Right. Yes. He's a public figure. It's okay. Thanks for that, Drew. A couple of emails here quickly. I'm sure we'll be hearing more about Phil Mickelson soon. So we know you call someone a douche when disparaging them, but have either of you ever come across a female that has used this product? Maybe I'm hashtag blessed to never have come across any vile poon in my excursions, but is there anyone under the age of 60 that has ever used it? That's from Lala. We live in a simulation because I just this weekend, I was talking to my chick. I'm like, remember douches? Like, that was a totally made up thing by men to make women feel unclean.
Yeah,
there's no actual use for that. It's a made up thing.
Yeah, I don't I remember like seeing a commercial when I was a kid and like asking my mom, like, what are they talking about? And I remember as a little kid being like, oh, that's some nonsensical thing. Like, that was early 80s, and I heard it was just bullshit. So I don't know.
Of course.
Douche has just always been thrown around as like a pejorative yes. term, but like, I don't know anyone who's ever, I mean, I've never even, no, I don't no even reason. Know if I've seen one, like no. seen it in the store on a shelf. I don't
know.
I don't know if it exists.
I don't know if they exist anymore. It was a made up thing because men, the patriarchy wanted women to feel unclean. So they thought they needed a special product to clean out their dirty parts. And it's not true. It didn't need to exist. And I don't think it does anymore.
Nah, bullshit.
Thanks for that, Lala. Here's another one. So the Rest in Peace song is brilliant. And yes, I'm sure the delayed repeat of You Won't Laugh No More is intentional to get you guys play it without talking over the whole
disagree.
Thing.
Disagree.
I don't. I yeah.
I think that was either. Riffing, and yes. and the riff got forgotten halfway through.
He's scatting. This is stream of consciousness. The Rest in Peace song. That's what makes it amazing. To get you guys to play it without taking over the whole thing, talking over the whole thing. Please play this little game and see if you can tell which of these celebs are currently alive or resting in peace. Hold on, I'm going to save the names. You can see them, but I'm going to save the names. And which of these aforementioned dead or alive celebrity is or was the loudest comer?
Who's that loud comer?
And just for the record, wait, hold on. And ballers, just for the record, I'm having serious doubts about Travis Rogers.
Whoa.
He's able to talk about every aspect of analingus and people's quasi-girlfriends allegedly shitting all over the place, but he can't stomach the fact that it feels better to come loudly? Get out of here. That's from Toe Cutter. Hashtag Red Circle.
The great hashtag Toe Cutter.
Every episode. Hashtag Harambe RIP.
RIP.
Hashtag Team Loudcomer. Hashtag Cancel Travis Rogers. Wow. I think that must be from the year end episode when we discussed our.
I was wondering when we even got Travis talking about that stuff.
Yeah, I think it was we revisited the Kennard situation at the end of the year. Okay, here's are these people, Ed, dead or alive?
Rest in peace.
Following names.
Rest in peace. The ballers hope you rest in peace.
Yep. You won't laugh no more.
You won't laugh no more.
You won't smile no more.
You won't smile no more.
Now bring it back to the laughter.
Here we go. Here we go.
You won't laugh no more.
And you think it's done.
And you won't fuck no more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And dearly departed.
That's.
We hope you rest in peace.
That's when you got the stick shift and you accidentally go from second gear to fourth gear. Yes. You're like, whoa. Yeah. What happened?
Yeah. Okay. Dead or alive, Ed. I'll just read all the names.
Yeah.
Dick Van Dyke.
Live. And I saw him like dancing last year in his like late 90s. Well, he's doing great.
He's doing great. And great talent.
What innovator. A talent.
Yeah.
And OG. Had the hottest TV wife back in the day.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Bob Redford, Ed.
He's old. He looks like an old leather bag. He's done too much time in the sun. But he might be 80. He's not nearly as old as Van Dyke.
No, I think he's not nearly as old as Van Dyke, but he's well into his 80s, I think, Robert Redford.
Okay.
He was in a movie. I think he did a movie like last year.
Yeah, I saw him in a movie where he was like a thief, like a bank robber.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. That's the one. He's got the piece too, by the way, the hair system. So does Dick Van Dyke. Tekashi 6ix9ine, Ed.
Is he in witness protection?
He's not. He's not.
But he hasn't been killed. It.
Yeah, the Bloods.
I thought he'd be killed by now.
He ratted out the Bloods.
Yeah, so not a good career move.
No, the Bloods will be coming for him at some point. But he, as of this recording, Tekashi 6ix9ine, who has a great many
6'9" tattoos on him, including directly on his face, many on his face. He's still alive. Angela Lansbury.
I mean, considering she played Elvis's mom in Blue Hawaii, you'd think she'd be like 130.
Yeah.
But I think she's still alive. I think we would hear a lot about her if she died.
Boy. Jessica Fletcher. I mean, how old was she when Murder, She Wrote was on, Ed? That was in the 80s.
She
was 70 years old at least when that was on.
Yeah.
That was 40 years ago.
She was in her 70s. Yeah.
So she's, and now it's,
she's about to celebrate her 112th birthday, probably.
Yes. Ozzy Osbourne.
Mr. Crowley. Yeah. He is alive and mumbling and quaking. Yeah.
Yes. Very sad. Rue McClanahan. She was the slut. Yeah. She's dead.
Because Betty was the last of the Golden Girls, yeah, right?
That's right. Rue McClanahan. Dead.
She loves sex. Who loves sex more, her or Mona from Who's the Boss?
Yeah, it was really gross. And also Rue McClanahan, they lived in a retirement community on Golden Girls.
And she was like 50.
Yeah, she was like 53. Like much younger than Brad Pitt is right now. And she was living in a retirement community. But she's dead. How about former Nixon speechwriter and Ferris Bueller's Day Off cameo haver, Ben Stein?
I mean, considering he worked for Nixon, he's gotta be dead. Way up there, but he's alive. He's alive. He's gotta be.
Okay. Figure Vid might have got him. How about this one? El Centro, California's own Cher.
She's outlived Sonny by quite a bit. She's alive, but there's not many areas of her face that she can move. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of plastic surgery.
Yeah. But she's in her 70s.
She's alive. She's like 75 or so.
Yeah. Yeah. How about Willis Drummond dead? Todd Bridges.
So I actually know Michelle was watching Celebrity Big Brother and I walked by. I was like, is that Willis? It was Willis and Lamar Odom were like hanging out together on Celebrity Big Brother. He's like just like a week ago.
Yeah. So he's alive.
He's alive.
Big Brother freaks me out. I've never watched it, but sometimes I'll like see clips of it because it's like they're all living in a house, but the house is like a soundstage.
Yeah.
And so there's no windows.
Michelle has always watched that show. And like, I passed through the room. I've never watched it.
Of course not.
But they're always whispering. Always whispering. They're whispering. Then they get in the confession room and they're like, Johnny, they all shout, Johnny thinks that I'm in it. And it's like, why are you whispering or shouting? Like, don't people talk? Don't ever, isn't there like a normal it's weird.
It's because they want to, they're hiding their strategy from the other house guests, right? But then
why in the room do they have to shout? Like the confessional room.
Yeah, no, that's confusing.
Johnny thinks I'm siding with him. But I'm not. Okay. Thank you for shouting.
Okay. Here's the last one. Former cop that also always plays a cop. Dennis Farina.
Sadly, I know he died. He was, I really think he could be right around 10th, but in the top 10 of character actors.
He's great.
He died. He was so good at playing a cop. Even if he played it every time, he was great at it.
But he could also be, remember, he's in Get Shorty, and he was very funny.
Ray Barboni.
Yes.
Ray Bones. He was terrific as a bad guy in Get Shorty.
He's definitely dead. We need to check Angela Lansbury here. I take your word for it. The rest,
we need to check. I just think we would see a lot of like, hey, Jessica Fletcher.
I lean into thinking you're right. Oh, yeah, Ed.
91, I'm going to say.
Dame Angela Bridget Lansbury, DBE.
She's British?
She's British, Ed. I know. That's That kind of stunned me as well, Ed.
What's his age? I can't explain. He was young back when he did that thing. Still alive, and I don't know why.
Oh, this is fucking guy.
Angela Lansbury, Ed.
So I can vividly remember Pat Summerall being like, 60 minutes after the game, followed by Murder, She Wrote. Yeah. And let's say, even if it was late stage Summerall, he was saying that in like 1990.
Yeah.
And that would be 32 years ago. She has to be like 105.
No, you were closer the first time. Born October 16th, 1925. 96 years young, Ed. So in 1990, she was in her early 50s.
So in like Blue Hawaii, which was like mid 60s, maybe 63 or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
How old was she? I mean, she looked
born 25. She would have been for about 38.
And yeah, she passed for a 60-year-old.
Yeah, she was in her. Well, she was like around the same age as Elvis. She was only like 5 or 6 years older than Elvis.
Wow.
Yeah. R.I.P.
No, still alive.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I'm sorry. Still alive. Angela Lansbury. Now we got to check this, Ben. I thought for sure Ben Stein was dead.
Anyone?
Could be wrong. Ben Stein.
I mean, he milked that. Jimmy Kimmel really got a launch pad from Ben Stein's money.
Yeah. Well, Ben Stein, Ed, alive. You want to go ahead and take a guess as to his age?
Nixon speechwriter. Nixon was 50, even if he was a late stage Nixon speechwriter, that was 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And 85
is pretty good guess. He was, I mean, let's just, Ferris Bueller's Day Off comes out, what, 1985?
So that was 35. So
yeah, 36 years ago,
37 years ago, he had to be 50 then. 87.
Yeah, he had to be 50. He not only did he have to be 50, I mean, he looked 60.
Yeah, but we know about the water back then.
So, I mean, you're giving him the 1980s, 70s and 80s handicap.
Yeah, the water handicap.
Yeah, because he looked 60, which would put him well into his 90s today. Ed, you're going to be stunned. Ben Stein, born November 25th, 1944, 77. What? A sprightly. He's not even that old.
Jesus.
Wow. So that means, 37 years. He was 40, Ed. He was significantly younger than you and I.
He just didn't get enough sleep, I guess.
He was 40 years old in that movie? Wow. That is crazy. Okay, are there any other ones? The rest we all got right, except for, I mean,
yeah,
other dead one is Dennis Farina. Okay, great game. Thank you for that. Toe Cutter, let's talk some not sports, Ed.
Well, it's time for not sports. Not sports segment. On the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Not sports.
Not sports.
Not sports.
Not sports.
Not sports. I'm talking about the segment now.
Not sports. Segment.
Ed, what is going on in the world of not sports?
Three more RIPs. First up, MASH star Sally Kellerman, a.k.a. Hot Lips Houlihan. She was 84, and she was also Thornton Mellon's lady friend.
Yeah. Now, the MASH movie, that's Donald Sutherland, there's Elliot Gould.
Yeah, the Suicide is Painless, the guy.
Oh, that song. Yeah.
It's a rough song.
Such a depressing song. Now, I have seen the movie, but of course I was much more familiar with the TV show, and we were really sold a bill of goods on old Hot Lips.
It was just that she was wearing a white t-shirt with guns. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, they could have done a little bit better casting back then, I would say. But RIP Sally Kellerman. She's in everything. I mean, she's did a lot of stuff over the years.
RIP the amazing Jonathan, aka the Freddy Krueger of comedy.
Yeah.
63 years old.
The amazing Jonathan, they made a documentary about him maybe like 5 years ago, and it was about how he was dying, and he was smoking meth, amphetamine throughout the documentary.
Wow. So what did he die? Was it like cancer or something?
I think he had cancer. And the whole thing was he had cancer and he was going to die. But he also was an unrepentant methamphetamine addict, and he was just smoking away on that crack pipe the whole thing. So he really kind of outlived.
Yeah, that's pretty good. If he lasted a few years.
Yeah. R.I.P.
And R.I.P. grunge pioneer Mark Lonergan, 57. Screaming Trees?
He was in Screaming Trees. He recorded with Queens of the Stone Age. Yeah, very prolific. I mean, they're kind of playing it fast and loose with the cause of death there.
He was only 57, so 57. I don't know. Well, I don't know what they said.
They didn't say anything.
Just, yeah.
I mean, I feel like if you're well known, you kind of got to give that up. People want to know.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it any less sad.
I agree. If it's younger than like 70 years old.
Yep.
You should say what it is, because listen, in as awful as something like suicide is or drug overdose, it can serve as some sort of wake up call if somebody in your life, it can help. It can. Yeah. I don't know. And it's can't also hurt. It's maddening when you search an obituary and you're like, so what was it?
I do it every time.
Every time.
Yeah. What else is going on, Ed? Hey fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
With Easy Ed Daily and a man Jay Stew and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Man, no one is above us, 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot, we'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers, TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless, TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers, TBLS.